Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Well, here we are. We finally made it to episode 30 of the Unexplained Story series. It feels weird but good at the same time to have finally made it to this milestone. If you have a story you would like to share in a future episode, whether it be something unexplainable or something entirely different, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, without any more hesitation, let's get into these creepy stories that can't be explained that will freak you out tonight. I have been having lots of nightmares over the years, and honestly, it's very terrifying. Sometimes I would have dreams of ghosts haunting some of my friends and families, or going on night fishing with a friend at my grandfather's house and hearing cries and screams, or I would say something and I would hear my own voice come back to me, coming from the neighbor's house across the lake or next door. Anyway, on to the story. This happened a few weeks ago. It was around 10 p.m., central time for me, and I was very exhausted as it was a busy day. So I fell asleep, and in my dream, I remember being in my backyard, playing with a stick or something. I was playing until I heard a crack like someone stepping on a stick. I turned, and to this day, this will terrify me forever. What I saw was a creature that had blue, charcoal-like skin. I don't know how else to describe it. It also had claws, and the legs were twisted with claws, and looked like some four-legged creature with tall elbows with drool running down its mouth. It also had long, extremely sharp-looking teeth. I ran back to the house and the door was locked and the creature made a monstrous roar. My mom came out and asked what was wrong. I explained everything to her, and she said that she was going to check it out. She took forever, and I went out and saw the, well, thing, I'll call it that from now on, hiding in the trees, but my mom said she didn't see anything. I guess I went outside to play, I know it's stupid to go outside, but it was just a dream, and I remember seeing blue jays, and my parents came outside with the same exact stick I was playing with, and said it's okay. Then I just simply woke up. No sweat on my bed, nothing. I simply just woke up. I'm sharing this because it was stuck in my mind every day, and I hope I never see anything like it again. If anybody had knows anything about dreams or premonitions or anything, could this possibly mean anything? When I was about 12 years old, I was driving with my dad on a road from Window Rock, Arizona, toward I-40 Junction near Sanders, Arizona, and this road is located on the Navajo Nation. All the reservation is trees and high desert, and houses aren't found for miles, and there isn't any electricity or running water. My dad and I were driving south, and it was snowing. It was about 2 a.m. We were driving for about 40 minutes from Window Rock, and my dad and I saw a woman beside the road with no shoes and no jacket. When we saw her, she was walking about 25 feet from the road. Damn, she must be freezing. I started giggling because I thought she was drunk or something walking in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night. Then, my dad pulled over and to see if she was, like, needing a ride or something. She was still walking, so my dad shouted in Navajo and English, "Hey, do you need a ride?" As soon as my dad yelled, she turned around slowly to look up at us and her long hair was covering her face. You couldn't even see what her face looked like. Her hair was covering her entire face like a mop. She slowly started walking towards us, stepping on rocks and branches and snow. She walked up to the truck on the passenger side where I was sitting and just stood by the window for like 15 seconds just staring at me. My dad said, "Open the door, jump in the back." As soon as I opened the door, she just took off running into the dark forest. My dad and I were stunned because it was freezing out there and there wasn't civilization for miles. So I just closed the door and my dad gunned it. We took off and thought, what the hell is her problem? Because she looked like a regular person. A couple of weeks later, my dad was visiting some of his friends who lived within 5 miles of the area, and my dad just mentioned what happened to them, and their faces just looked stunned, and they said, was her hair covering her whole head, and did she have no shoes? My dad said, yeah. Then they said, it wasn't a real lady, she's a ghost. My dad and I were pretty confused. She looked like a real person. My friends weren't surprised because the Navajos are used to hearing weird stories like that. When I was a kid, my brother and I shared a bedroom. Let me set the scene. Two beds, one on each side of the wall, a window between us at the far side of the room, and a closet which stays shut at night to the left of us as you walk into the bedroom. There's a dresser on each side of the wall as well. At the foot and between our beds, we had an oscillating fan for the summer heat. One night we were sleeping. I awoke tossing and turning and I kept hearing a mechanical clicking sound. I slowly and groggily turned my head towards the noise and saw our fan surrounded by a very large shadow, much larger than our parents. It was holding down the oscillating portion of the fan. I stared for what felt like forever and slowly turned to my brother, who to my surprise was staring directly at me and gave me the smallest head shake of, no. Here's the older brother, being scared, so I was obviously scared. So I listened and put my head back down and angled my view to keep an eye on the fan. The clicking continued throughout this time. After a few more minutes, the clicking stopped, but the shadow stayed and it just seemed to stare at us for a while. Then, out of nowhere, it moved very slowly in front of the fan and remained at the foot of our beds. A crazier thing to this was that we could still feel the fan as it was standing in front of us. Like this thing was, like, transparent. Our eyes darting back and forth between the shadow and each other for confirmation. We stayed awake the rest of the night, not wanting to close our eyes. The sun came up and we found ourselves with a story we couldn't explain to anyone and an opened closet door. It's been 20 plus years and we still talk about that night. It never happened again, before or after that. So, if anybody has any insight on what could have happened that night, please let us know. This happened in Malaysia. I was a staff member of the university there. I got ill and was hospitalized. They put me in the staff ward, which was a large, rectangular room with 5 beds on either side. At the far end of the ward were single rooms. There was no one in the ward when I was brought in. They wanted to put me in one of those rooms at the end, but I asked to be put in the open ward because it was nearer to the nurse's station and where the facilities were. On my second night there, I noticed that the light in one of the rooms would turn on and off at night. I thought another staff member had been admitted, but when I went to the room, I found it neatly made up and empty. I observed the room for the rest of my stay, and the same thing would happen every single night. I also checked the room a few times to find it empty. I learned from the nurses that this was a regular occurrence, and they didn't take any notice of it anymore. A fellow staff member was admitted to the same ward sometime after. After I left, she was put in that room. She said one night she was woken up in the middle of the night, When she opened her eyes, she saw a figure in white floating above her bed. "Strangely," she said, "she was not afraid." She tried to see the figure's face, but she could not. After a short while, the figure turned and floated away, and then vanished. I asked around, but no one could give me a concrete explanation to these happenings. Neither could I find the name of the staff member who had died in the room, because the staff ward had only been in that wing for a short while before I was admitted. Before that, the ward had housed various departments and other wards. My uncle is a believer in the paranormal, but he always used to be a skeptic. That was until when he was just living in a shared house with some guys he knew. He decided on this house because it was cheap, and he knew some of the guys who lived there. He moved in and everything was normal for the most part, except he felt a little odd in the kitchen sometimes. However, one night he was home alone. His mates were out of the house, and he went down to the kitchen to make tea. It was then that he became a believer, as in front of the sink was a white, partially translucent, cylinder-like thing that went from the floor to the ceiling that may have had a faint outline of a figure within it. The figure had no eyes, but he believes to this day that that thing was looking at him. At the time, he was certain that the strange thing was staring at him, and he was just so scared. He didn't feel threatened or anything, just incredibly shocked and unsettled, likely because his entire understanding of the supernatural had been rendered obsolete. He quickly ran out of the room and back upstairs, giving up on his tea. Later he came downstairs and the ghost, or whatever it was gone. He made his tea, but the room still felt ice cold. The next day his friends were back, and he waited until he was alone with the one of his best friends to tell. He trusted this one the most. He said to him, "Mate, has anything weird ever happened to you here?" He immediately replied, before my uncle was even finished speaking, "Oh, so you've seen the ghosts." His friend called everyone into the living room, and they all told their stories of meeting the phantom of the kitchen. Turns out they bought the house cheap from its previous owners, who warned them that it was haunted. My uncle's mates didn't believe in the paranormal and moved in. They all pitched in to buy it, and they let some others, like my uncle, stay in the spare room for rent. Eventually, they all encountered the ghost and shared their stories with each other. They stayed in the house because the houses were expensive, and this house was a great value, even with ghosts, because it was benign. My uncle stayed for a while, never encountering the ghost again as far as I know, and then moved out to another shared house with my dad and my mom, who were just friends at the time. My uncle is now a believer. My dad still doesn't believe in the paranormal, but he trusts that my uncle definitely saw something, but he isn't sure of what. In 2012, I had suffered a stroke that had almost killed me. Apparently, I had even died for a few seconds. As I slipped away, I had felt an overwhelming peace overcome me, as I had never felt before. Things went black, then I was ascending above and I saw the city below. Next to me, I heard a voice from this orb of varicolored lights that also had a mist coming off of it. It was a woman's voice, and she was telling me how excited she was to finally be with her family and see her mom and dad again. I started to feel unsure, and I told her I wasn't supposed to be here. Suddenly, I was standing in an otherworldly place that was gorgeous. All the structures and buildings were made of what looked similar to be marble, but it had an iridescent color between the marbling. The buildings were decorated with colorful stones and gold embezzlements lining the buildings and glass fencing. I walked along the path with my arms crossed and holding to my body. I felt lost, and everyone around me was chattering happily with each other in these otherworldly clothes of satin-like linens. Some people held hands and were close and joyful with each other. This place was absolutely beautiful. I came upon an old man who was sitting near a tree in what seemed to be a teaching class with people surrounding him. Some were sitting, and others were standing. He called me over to him. he was teaching the lessons of what looked like life and death. What it was originally supposed to be and how humans were supposed to be caring for the world and the inhabitants on it, but materialism had gotten in the way of other things. I felt an overwhelming knowledge come over me as he continued to teach this class about the world, the universe, life, and death. Everyone began to surround me, and the old man put his hand on my shoulder and said, "It's not your time yet. You will know when it is." The people from the class all came in and held me in a circle, and I was suddenly back. I opened my eyes and breathed in. I was alive, and back in my earthly body. This is how I came to believe in God, and also reincarnation. I don't claim a religion, because my beliefs are now a mix of things. Unfortunately, slowly that knowledge that was instilled in me slipped away over the years, but I still feel in the back of my mind. To me, religion became several fingers pointing at the same thing. I don't need a religion to dictate my relationship with God. If you're all wondering, I'm 27 now and suffer residual effects and have been disabled, but I keep going. My body may not work properly, but my brain still does, and I focus on expanding my knowledge in various areas. When I was 5, so this would be 22 years ago, my granddad Tony died. A few things about my granddad. He smoked really strong tobacco, and my mom would tell him off for smoking in the house. He also loved to wind up my mom by moving her wedding photo, which was hung above the fire. Anyway, odd things started to happen about a year after he died. We would all smell his tobacco when we woke up in the morning. And when we came downstairs, my mom's wedding photo would be on the wall. Also, whenever his favorite football game was playing, our TV would change the channel when his team scored. We weren't overly concerned, and we have always believed in spirits. We would come downstairs in the morning and greet our granddad as if he were sitting at the table. This continued until I and my sisters moved out. My mom moved out not long after we moved. We never actually saw him, though. Fast forward 22 years and I have a daughter of my own and she is 8 now. The other evening, I was in my bedroom and my daughter was supposed to be asleep. I heard her talking. I got up to investigate, and as I made my way to her room, I could see that she was sitting up in her bed chatting away and explaining that she had done at school that day. I asked her who she was speaking to, and she said she was speaking to Tony. It took me a couple of seconds to process what she had said and figure out who Tony was. Obviously, I was only 5 when my granddad passed away, so we clearly never got the chance to meet my daughter. I didn't say anything about who she was talking to. I just stroked her head and told her she had to go to school in the morning and it was time to go to bed. I looked at the end of the bed where she was facing, and I did not see anyone. I'm not going to lie and say I was disappointed. The next morning I sat down and got a photo of my granddad. Now, my daughter has never seen a photo of my granddad. These are all kept in a box on the top of my wardrobe. I didn't say anything to my daughter and just left the photo on her kitchen table. She sat down for breakfast and let out a little squeal. She held up the photo of my granddad and said, "This is Tony. He comes to me sometimes and asks me about school. He loves it when we talk about books." It's strange, but I am extremely comforted by the fact that my granddad is still watching over us, and even watching over his great-granddaughter too. I grew up and currently live in Manitoba, Canada, along the prairies, and my family is from northern Manitoba. During the tenure of my childhood, we were often told to not whistle at night. You can call spirits, as they'd say, especially if you were out late and the northern lights were present. This is due to the belief that when you whistle, two things can happen. They'll dance for you in different arrays of movement and fashion, or they will come down and take you away. These beliefs stem from the notion that the northern lights consist of the spirits of our ancestors, and those who have passed on. If you whistle at them, it's almost as though you are inviting and giving them permission to take you to the spirit world, which ultimately means death. My cousins and I used to do this when we were younger, probably between the ages of 9 and 11, and every single time they would look like they were coming closer, and every single time we'd run inside and tell our parents, and every single time we'd get in trouble. Though nothing happened to us during those times, I've heard many stories and dialogues over the years from other families and other family members and or friends on their experiences with the Northern Lights. Each story and experience is nearly the same despite people not knowing one another or living in the same areas. Some live up north, some live in the south. According to their accounts, these things happen when the Northern Lights come down. There's often a whistling sound that accompanies them. One of my cousins said it similar to taking a glass cup and wetting your finger and running it over the top in a continuous circular motion, whistling. The other thing that occurs is they'll start changing different colors. Colors they don't normally take form in. They've said they turn pink, red, yellow, orange, etc., rather than the standard neon green you see in photos. They will also form in a circle above you, as low as the street lamps, one of my Sundance sisters said. As they make their way down, finally, they smell sulfuric. One of my friends recalled a girl who used to whistle to them all the time in this community. One particular time, she did this, and he said it smelled like sulfur all night. In parting, it's often said, in order to steer them away, if they start coming down, you can clap your hands loudly. This apparently scares them and causes them to go back up. You can also whisper things you want to say to those who have passed on, family members, friends, when they're around, but don't talk or yell.
I was living in a downtown, in a posh area that had nice buildings that had a good restaurant next door. The restaurant and the apartment building opened at the same time, so it automatically sort of became where everyone in the building went. And I worked across the street, so it was also where my firm would have client meetings and happy hours. I went in one night alone near closing time, which I had done in the past, and sat at the bar. I had been out that evening to happy hour, but that had been several hours before, and I had been home since then. I ordered a steak dinner and a glass of wine, my favorite. I was familiar with the bartender because of the happy hours and one specific first date where the guy I was meeting, who was from Poland, recognized the bartender's accent as Serbian. They had some geopolitical banter while we had drinks and the bartender seemed like an okay guy at the time. Mid-20s, average, nondescript. On this night, I'm sure we had some small talk while he worked, but I don't think I actually engaged all that much with him. I didn't even know his name. Anyway, halfway through my meal, I got ridiculously tired. Like, barely keep your eyes open tired. I asked for a box for my meal. He took a while getting it, but when he presented it, he told me he was walking me home. I said no thanks, but he insisted 3 more times, which at that point I probably could have used help walking, but was fully annoyed at being told someone was going to be walking me home. Not only was I clear he was not welcome to do that, I actually had a habit of never letting a guy walk me to my door. I don't like randos to know where I live, and I once had an acquaintance try to push in after, you know, a cocktail party once. So yeah, there was no way this was going to happen, no matter what. I remember I got loud with my final no, and I took a few more sips of wine. Hey, I paid $20 for that glass and I was not going to waste it. As I stood to leave, he seemed a little taken aback. He snatched at my glass and said he was coming with me, so I remember that I simply left before he could do or say anything else. I made my way to the next door to where my apartment was and was going into the elevator. I could hardly walk. I felt beyond drunk. Even though I had barely finished half of my glass of wine, when I made it to the 8th floor, I could barely stand. I literally crawled from the elevator down my very long hallway, around the corner, and almost to my door. When I got to within feet of my door, my legs had stopped working. I could barely climb out the door to insert the key, but somehow I managed. I dragged myself over to the threshold. I woke up the next day slumped up against my door and I had wet myself. I have never lost control of my body, no matter how drunken I've ever got. And I've definitely never slept on my floor where I dropped. It was crazy. I had a hangover from hell, and I was trying to figure out all day what had happened. I told myself that since I had been a happy hour earlier, maybe I was drunk and didn't know it when I went for my late meal. But I didn't remember feeling drunk when I was there, and I hadn't really eaten until the steak and potatoes I had ordered. I kept searching for a reason. It was a couple of days later I remembered how overly familiar the bartender had been in trying to walk me home. It chilled me at what could have happened if that guy had walked me home. I had no proof he had done anything, but somehow I just knew. I felt stupid that I had gone back out that night when I could have eaten at home, and I felt stupid for not watching him more closely, even though I had been alone at the bar. I felt stupid for going alone at the bar too, when I could have eaten at a table, but I just couldn't be sure enough of anything to report it anywhere. I just kind of hid for a couple of months, refusing to walk by the window in front of the bar of the restaurant and generally avoiding the corner altogether. It was at least 2 months before I could go back in that restaurant, and even then, it was only for work. I was relieved when I didn't see him at the bar, but I had to ask that if he was coming later or something, just so I could miss him. When I asked where he was, the person behind the bar said really flatly, "Oh, him? Yeah, he's gone. We had to let him go." I remember searching the bartender's face for a clue and picked up on some mild disgust. So I said good or something, and then he started to talk about how he thought it was better for everything.
In July of 2018, my family and I went to my aunt and uncle's house in Maryland. They go on vacation for a weekend, and they let us stay at their house. They live like 10 minutes away from Baltimore, so we usually go there for a day and go back to the house later. Everything was fine until the third night. When we got back to the house, my dad and brother went upstairs because they were tired. My mom and I went into my uncle's office to go on his computer to see what we could do the next day. We heard some strange noises. My mom just assumed they were house noises, but the noises seemed a bit heavy to be house noises. My mom went to the bathroom and I sat at the computer looking at attractions when I heard my uncle's dog growling from the living room. She only growls or barks when she sees someone she doesn't recognize, so I got a little scared. My mom came out of the bathroom, and I told her the dog is growling at something. She went to the living room to check on the dog, and everything seemed normal except for one thing. The lamp was on, but the thing about that was I remember seeing it unplugged entirely. The lamp is also in the corner behind the giant couch, and the cord has a switch on it to turn it on or off, but the switch was closer to the floor. It would take a lot of effort to plug it in and turn it on. She assumed it was me and turned it off, but I kept telling her I didn't turn it on at all. I decided to go to bed, which I kind of regret doing. I fell asleep pretty fast, but I woke up at 3 in the morning to a strange sound. I just kept hearing a squeaky mattress noise over and over again. I knew it wasn't my parents because I heard my dad snoring, and I knew my brother wasn't making that noise because I heard him snoring as well. All of our bedroom doors were open, so it was pretty easy to hear, but I was the only one hearing it. I started hearing the dog growling viciously from the living room. I was covered in my sweat, and my fear was rising. I then heard footsteps coming from the attic right above my room. I was wide awake at that point, and was gonna wake up my parents, but since I was so scared, I didn't want to move. Eventually, all the noises stopped, but the dog was still viciously growling at something or even someone. She stopped growling after about 5 minutes. Everything was seemingly fine after that, but I had no interest in falling back asleep, and didn't get out of bed until I saw my brother get out of bed at sunrise. I asked him if he heard anything at all at 3 in the morning, but he said no. I also asked my parents if they heard anything, and they also said no. My mind was blown, and I thought I was going crazy. For the rest of the week, everything was fine, and that dog kept growling at something every once in a while. I kind of wish I got up out of bed to see what was squeaking, but I was also way too scared. I also wish I got up to see what the dog was growling at, but no way in hell was I going to go up into that attic. I don't know if I was just hallucinating, witnessing paranormal activity, or what, but I definitely don't know, and it definitely was not a dream. Thanks for listening to these creepy and unexplainable stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes, and that helps the Swamp continue to expand. If you're new to the Swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications to never miss a new video, because I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future episode, whether it's a story that you can't explain or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the Swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this show going. If you're unaware, you can find your favorite scary stories from the Swamp on iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much everywhere else you could find your favorite podcasts. You can download them and bring them wherever you like. Definitely go do that, and be sure to leave me some reviews there on iTunes. It helps the podcast grow a lot. Thank you guys, as always. And if you made it to the very end, be sure to comment within the bushes to let me know you made it to the end, and to confuse everybody who didn't. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.